Okay, that every hand should go up. You're interested in your own personal edification. If you're interested that your edification, that the edification occurring in your soul is following God's design, then rightly dividing the word of truth is important. Now, if you don't care, or it's not that important to you, then maybe rightly dividing is really not that important to you. So the message today is about edification. If you want to be an edified saint, then the word of God rightly divided is that important. If you don't really care about being an edified saint, then don't rightly divide. It's that simple. Okay? Now, let's read a passage of Scripture, go to the Lord in prayer, and then get ourselves started. Look here at Ephesians chapter 4. Notice verse 11. Ephesians 4:11, it says this, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for what? For the edifying of the body of Christ." Is God interested in the body of Christ being edified? Absolutely. He says, "Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." Let's have a word of prayer. Our gracious God and Father, we do thank you for the time to look into your precious and holy word this morning. And we pray that and ask that as we deal especially this morning with the doctrine of our edification and understanding how it occurs and the significance of following the blueprint, that we would do just that. And by realizing this, that we would indeed, once again, have it confirmed in our own hearts and our minds that rightly dividing the word of truth is every bit as important as you have made it to be in your word. And we will thank you for that in Christ's name. Amen. How many of you have ever been involved in either a remodel project of your own home or maybe just completely from ground up you built your home? Yeah. Why? Yeah. What's that? The endless kitchen project. Okay. Now, why were there a lot of laughs that kind of went on in that one? We've all been there, right? Every one of us, to some degree or another, we added a second story back in 1990, I think it was, and I think we started the project like in January. It was done in like maybe July, and by August it was all full. You know, isn't that the way it always is? At any rate, anybody who has been involved in either any kind of remodeling project, maybe I shouldn't say any kind, but most remodeling projects, you'll understand why I said that in just a minute, but most remodeling projects or building homes or that type of thing, they require some kind of blueprint, right? That's why I said most of the time. Some of y'all did it without permits, okay? But most of them require some kind of blueprints, some kind of plan to follow. Well, imagine that you hired a contractor for the remodeling project or for the building project, and you know, this guy came with good references, good background, and so forth. Somebody recommended him, and so what you're going to do is you know you don't want to be the headaches, you know, while it's all going on. So you're going to maybe go on vacation for 6 months. Okay, be nice, right? So you're going to go on vacation for 6 months, and the idea is, you know, when you come back, this thing's virtually going to be done, except maybe just some fine tuning and that type of thing. And so you got the blueprints, everything's there, and you shake the guy's hand, you go away, and you know, while you're on vacation, you're just thinking, man, that living room's going to be great. Nice big bathroom, big jacuzzi in the bathroom's going to be great. Nice big kitchen cabinet, they're all going to be wonderful. And of course, you get back to what you believed was going to be your address. The mailbox in the street says the right address, but you get there, and this thing doesn't look anything like what you thought it was going to be. Not only that, you go inside, and there's nothing in there like you thought it was going to be. The bathroom's somewhere else. There is no big jacuzzi in it. The bedrooms are teeny tiny small. The closets are weird. And it's just totally different than what you thought. Now, how many of you would be excited about that plan? Not a taker in a bunch, right? Now, what in this case happened? Because we had blueprints. You left them with the builder, but they weren't what? They weren't followed. Isn't that a simple concept to understand? That is so very simple to understand that concept. Well, God Himself has a blueprint for your edification, for my edification. And God is interested in what the finished product looks like. And He kind of wants it to look like what He designed it to look like, okay? He wants the bathroom where the bathroom goes and the kitchen where the kitchen goes and so forth, all right? Unfortunately, the church as a whole today, they're building all right, but the product that they're building isn't looking anything like the plans. Not at all. God Almighty in His Word in general and in particular in Paul's epistles has laid out a blueprint for the edification of the believer. If you do not rightly divide the word of truth, friends, you can't even possibly follow the blueprints. It's that simple. One of the reasons, again, that the church is in such is so ineffective, spiritually speaking, and in such confusion out there, is simply that they're all building something, all very busy doing something. People have never been busier in Christianity. They're all busy doing something. But you know what? It just isn't following the blueprints. Is rightly dividing the word of truth really that important? Well, in this in all the other issues we've talked about already, it certainly is. And this one is critical as well. If you're interested in the building looking like what God wants it to look like, then you must rightly divide the word of truth. It's that simple. You simply got to follow the blueprints. You've got to follow the plan. And I've got four simple points this morning, okay, which is kind of rare. It'll even be more rare if I actually follow them, and number two, if I get through even one of them, right? Yeah, speaking of plans, right? Okay, yeah. All right. Actually, I have five here. Whoa, I'm adding to the plans, right? And let me just give these to you real briefly, and then we'll go over them. Number one, it is God's will that you be edified. That's number one. God does want the believer to be edified, okay? Is there any doubt about that one? No, we just read the passage here, although we're going to read that too. Okay, we're going to read it again. But that's number one. God absolutely wants you to be edified, okay? Number two, edification does follow a design. Edification is according to a design. It actually does follow a plan. Just like if you wanted the contractor you hired to follow your plan, and for good reason, I mean, it's the one you created and so forth. So too, God wants us to follow His plan. So the second point is edification is according to a design or a pattern or a plan. Number three, the design or the pattern of the plan, the blueprint for this plan was committed by the Lord Jesus Christ to the Apostle Paul. Paul is the wise master builder. Pretty simple, pretty standard. Number four is that the building will be inspected one day. It may not seem like it. You know, people all over Christianity are saying, God's doing this, God's doing that. Look at what God's going to do. You know what? It is not going to be manifested what God's doing until the day the building is inspected. You understand what I'm saying? You can look out there today and God's doing this, God's doing that, and so forth. And you know what? There's going to be a day that's going to declare how the building looks. And so the building is going to be inspected one day. And then number five, if I did in fact number right, you are the building of God. You are God's building. You are God's temple. That's what you're part of what God's doing today. Okay? So forth.
Number six, no change orders will be
approved. There we go. Or approved, yeah. Okay. Or approved, yeah. No change. You know, we're not going to have to. The code is fine. Got to update the code all the time. Maybe that's what you're kind of suggesting. Okay, let's try to get through this morning if we can, all right? Look at Ephesians chapter 4 again. And this is point number one. God really and truly does want you to be edified. God really does want you to be edified. God wants all people to be saved and to do what? To come to knowledge of the truth. God does want you to be edified. Look at this. Look at Ephesians chapter 4 again, verse 11. And He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Now watch this. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for what? See, if edification was simply a theological concept, if it was simply a religious invention, then that verse wouldn't mean anything. Edification is something that the fact of, the desire of, the design for as well of edification, that came off the drawing board of heaven. It didn't come from theology, it didn't come from man, it wasn't invented by religion. God Himself is interested in the saints be edified. In that verse, who actually does the work of the ministry in the verse? Well, I mean, that's true, but what kind of saints? Mature saints, edified saints. It's edified saints that do the work of the ministry. If the saints aren't edified, the work of the ministry doesn't get done. It's that simple. You don't want to hire the contractor for your home, the guy that doesn't even know which hand of the hammer to use when you're hammering the nail, as compared to when you're pulling the nail, right? The work of the ministry is to be accomplished by edified saints. God clearly wants the saints to be edified. Look at what it goes on to say here, verse 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith. That phrase there, the unity of the faith, is a reference to the doctrine. Okay? It's not a reference to the rapture or that type of thing. But he says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto what? A perfect man. There's a mature saint, right? Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now watch verse 14. That we henceforth be no more what?
Children.
What's the characteristic of children? Here it is. Tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. The characteristic of children is instability. Right? Isn't that... Of course, now some of us, some of us are children, right? But the characteristic of children is that there's no ability to focus. Right? Stay on course. How many of y'all, especially those here that may be homeschooled at that time, need to focus? Come on, can you focus? Yeah, Dad, great. But... One second later, they're off over here, right? The characteristic of being a child, spiritually, is the same thing. No ability to stay on course. No ability to focus. Tossed to and fro. Well, Paul says, the Word of God said, doesn't want us to be that way. It says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. If the characteristic of children is the inability to focus, is instability, what would the characteristic of a mature individual be?
Stability.
Ability to focus. Ability to think something through. How can you tell when somebody you're listening to whether or not they're preaching you the truth or not? How can you tell? Yeah, you've got a standard. You can listen to what they say. You've developed some spiritual discernment. I can't tell you how many times I've heard people say that when they first come to see the grace message and then they really begin to study and grow and everything, and before this time pretty much they got all their doctrine off the radio, now they listen to the radio and they say, you know, it sure doesn't sound like the same thing I'm learning in the Bible. Isn't that true? You know what's just happened? Their spiritual perception has been raised way up here. Their spiritual awareness. Just because somebody's got a big name, that doesn't mean he's preaching the truth. You know? And it's like the spiritual radar antenna went up. And you're always on guard now. You're always listening to what's being said. The discernment. Mike, you asked me a couple of questions just recently about this. I said, well, see, that's the spiritual discernment. The guy's saying this, but does that really pan itself out in terms of the Word of God divided? Barry, you told me just recently about a big name guy. They were welcoming at this church. And I think you mentioned it will... Just because it's a big name, the guy is not preaching the truth. What are we having them in here for? And the idea of spiritually being a child is tossed to and fro. But spiritual maturity is a result of being built up in the faith. Look what he goes on to say here. Verse 14 again, verse 15. But speaking the truth in love may do what? Grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying itself in love. What does it sound like is going on in verse 16 there? Look at verse 16. What's the last part of verse 16 saying? Very last part. Okay, so do you affect other members of the local assembly? And do they affect you? According to that verse, they do. Look at the emphasis again here. Watch this. Look at verse 16 again. From whom the... Are you part of that? From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which... Does that include you? Every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of... What's it? Does that include you? Are you in that verse? We are. We're all in that verse. So we affect each other. Spiritually speaking, we affect each other. God clearly wants the body of Christ to be edified. Is there any doubt about that? Is that? If there is, I mean, these verses make it pretty clear that there should be no doubt about it. God's design for the believer is that the believer no longer stay a child spiritually, but rather would grow up spiritually. And the way that you grow up spiritually speaking is you go through edification. You'd be built up in the faith. Now, if you were to go out and ask, say, believers, take a group of 10 believers out there, people that profess to be Christians, and you would ask them, how exactly does edification occur? What do you suppose they would tell you? Okay, they don't know.
Reading.
Reading, yeah, okay. Well, let me ask it this way. Again, back to the question, let's say you were hiring a contractor to build your home and everything. And you were to ask them, you were to ask the contractor, how are you going to proceed? Let's say, in this case, you're building a whole brand new home from scratch. So you're not doing a remodel, but you're doing a whole brand new home from scratch. So let's say that you were to ask the contractor, how are you going to proceed? What are you hoping he's going to tell you probably first? What's that? Study the plans. Okay, that's a pretty good start. Then what are you going to do? Okay, probably put a team of subcontractors together. Then what are you probably going to do? You're going to put the roof on, right? No. You got that's why I qualify this by saying we're starting from scratch. You're hoping what the guy's going to do. He's going to study the plan, put his contractors together. He's going to order the materials and so forth. He's got to take and clear that ground, lay a foundation. Then he's going to put the roof on, right? Only if you're really short. No, what does he need to do? He needs to lay that foundation. Then he needs to put the sticks, whatever they call them, wall out, okay? You know? You know, put the studs up and everything. By the way, if you ever want to ask, if you ever want to know who not to ask to help you build a wall, Larry will give you some advice about who to make sure you don't ask to help you build a wall. Larry and Shalay. It's a long story, but they'll. Oh, brother! I was over there, quote unquote, helping Larry. We were going to build this wall, you know, and this remodel he was doing and everything. And of course, Larry, I mean, he knows how to do everything. And here, hand me those 2x6s over there. So I'm just handing them and so forth. I picked the wrong ones, of course. I guess it was. But so we built this wall. We stand it up. Man, the wall looks great. Man, it was just nice and plumb line, everything, and all squared up and everything. And Shalay comes walking up the stairs and, hey, that's pretty neat. How come that wall's taller than the one over there? You remember that, right? And I said, yeah, that's right. I said, I think I got to go home now. I did. I think I left like 5 minutes after that, didn't I? But anyway, so, well, out of the top, I think he had to take the whole, anyway, so, that's another, yeah. But we changed the plans there real quickly. We had to think of something quick, didn't we, right? Yeah. I got to go home, he had to eat supper that night, so. Anyway, I'm not sure where I was going with all that, except to say this, I know what it was. If you ask a contractor to do the work for you, you hope he knows the sequence of building to follow. If you ask 10 Christian people, how does edification actually occur? What's the sequence to follow? I mean, they all know you should study, pray, right? They all know that part of it. But what do you do next? I ask you this morning, what should you do?
You go to the person that you're calling you, go right?
You know, if we all agree that you need to study the plan first, don't we need to know where to go to find the plan? We sure do. We need to know where to go to find the plan. Now, point number one is that God's will for the believer is that you are edified. Number two, edification is according to a design. It clearly is according to a design in God's Word. Look with me at Romans 16 and 2 Timothy chapter number 1. Romans 16 and 2 Timothy chapter number 1. Look at Romans chapter 16 and then 2 Timothy and chapter number 1. And we're going to look at the one in 2 Timothy first here. 2 Timothy chapter number 1, verse 13. 2 Timothy 1:13. And it says this, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. He tells Timothy, he says, hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, any of you know that know anything about building? What is a form in relationship to building? It's like a pattern. If you're gonna pour a foundation, do you just tell the dump truck to back up and pour the concrete anywhere? No, what does he need to do? What has been preset in order for him to know where to pour it and therefore where to pour it? He set up a form, didn't he? What's the purpose of the form? Yeah, it contains, it shapes the thing, right? Well, that verse says, hold fast the form of sound words. Sound words have a form to them. They follow a pattern. And when he tells Timothy, hold fast that form, stick to the pattern, everybody's going to want to change it. What'd you say, John, about no alterations to it? Everybody's going to want to change it. People are going to not going to want to follow it over time and so forth. But Timothy, you just hold it fast. Don't alter it. If you want the finished product to look like what God wants it to look like, you need to hold fast the form of sound words. See that in the verse? Very, very important there. Look at the pattern that you see in Romans 16. Look at Romans chapter 16. And notice what he says at Romans 16, 25. Romans 16, 25. Speaking about foundation and laying the proper foundation, starting properly. It says, now to him that has the power to establish you. Do you want to be established? You want to be established, right? Now to him that has the power to establish you according to what? Okay, here's the sequence of your edification. Here it is right here. It says, now to him that has the power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith, and so on. There are actually three things listed in those two verses that are important in relationship to your being established as a believer. The first one is, simply put, Paul says, my gospel. All right? My gospel. What is Paul's gospel? After all, in the Bible, isn't there just one gospel? Yeah, we already talked about this, about lesson number 3 or 4 in this series. When Paul says, now to him there is a power to establish you according to my gospel, if you're going to be established, what does just even that part of the verse demand? That you know the gospel, but you know why he means, why he says my gospel. You have to know the message as well as the distinction. You have to know the doctrine as well as the uniqueness of it. When he says, my gospel, the gospel is that what? Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. But why does he say, my gospel? It's because there's some information about the cross work of Christ that was committed uniquely and exclusively to Paul's trust for the Gentiles in the dispensation of grace. So that number one there. And again, I'm going over information you're all real familiar with. That's why I can move on more quickly here. But you got to know that. Is it any wonder then, in Christianity, if there's so much doubt about something like eternal security, and is there doubt about that? Oh, all over the place. What fundamentally don't they know then? They don't know Paul's gospel. If you know Paul's gospel, you will never doubt your security in Christ. Maybe I should say it this way, if you believe Paul's gospel. Okay? You believe Paul's gospel, and you'll never again doubt your security in the Lord Jesus Christ. All right? The concept of my gospel, yeah, that's assuming you do rightly divide, okay? Where they don't rightly divide is that they lump in this gospel, Paul's gospel, with the gospel of the kingdom and all those kinds of things, okay? If you understand Paul's gospel, that's the my part of that verse, okay? If you understand Paul's gospel, you'll never doubt your security in Christ. It demonstrates, therefore, this. If this is foundation stone number one in the edification process, because remember in the verse he says three things, if this is foundation stone number one in the edification process, and if so many people out there that profess to be Christians, and I hope and trust that they are, but so many of those that do, if they don't even understand eternal security, they don't even have the foundation laid right. How would you like it if your contractor, you come back and you're checking your house out, and he doesn't even have a foundation laid out right? You'd be a little concerned. You'd be a lot concerned, and rightfully so. So number one in the edification process is what Paul calls my gospel. Number two, and I know I'm moving on quickly, okay? Number two is what he calls the preaching of Jesus Christ here according to the revelation of the mystery. All right? Just for purposes of doing it that way, revelation of the mystery. Paul is preaching Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. Paul is preaching Jesus Christ not according to the prophetic program that had already been made known and prophesied about. Paul is preaching Jesus Christ according to an unprophesied program. Paul was preaching Jesus Christ according to a secret. Mike taught the ladies at the Chateau San Juan yesterday morning. And what was the topic of your message?
God had a secret.
God had a secret. Who do you tell a secret to? What did you tell the ladies?
Well, I said, who did you tell to? And I asked them the question. Did you tell your friends or who did you tell them? And God told his enemy.
God told his enemy. God told Saul of Tarsus. He's the enemy of God. God didn't tell Adam the secret. The Bible calls Abraham the friend of God. And it says that God spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to what? A man speaks to his friend. And God didn't tell Moses the mystery. Who did he tell?
Saul.
Paul was the chief of sinners. He commits to Paul's trust some information about what God from before the foundation of the world was going to do in time and for eternity to glorify Jesus Christ. That information he simply kept as secret. And so the Apostle Paul goes out and he confirms that Jesus Christ was in fact the Messiah, so it's the same person, but some hidden information about what this person accomplished on the cross and would accomplish for all eternity. So it's preaching Jesus Christ according to an unprophesied program, the revelation of the mystery, he calls it there. Now, I love the way Paul says it in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if you have heard the dispensation and the grace of God which is given to me, to you, or how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, whereof when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Do you understand why people don't know the mystery? They're not reading it, for one thing. You know how you understand where Paul got it? You have to read it. And they're not reading it. The mystery is not a mystery any longer as far as God's concerned. Satan wants to keep it a mystery. You understand that? That it's preaching Jesus Christ according to an unprophesied program. Now, again, if you go ask, say, 10 Christian people, what's the mystery? How many of them are going to know what that is? Not too many, probably. It's interesting when people, you show them some of this information, the Word of God divided the chart and everything, and it's interesting to me how the comments, oh, well, my church teaches that. Well, then why aren't they proclaiming it all over the place? Understand that? They say, well, my church teaches the exact same information. They don't. They don't, they don't, they don't, they don't. If they did, why are they fighting what we're doing? You know, my church talks about the mystery. Yeah, but how many preach the one baptism? You want to talk about the sacred cow in Christianity? It's not the Lord's Supper, it's the baptism issue. That's the one nobody wants to let go of. You talk about the one body and the one baptism. That's the issue there. In the edification process, the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, that's the second foundation stone. And then he says, and the scriptures of the prophets. All right? The scriptures of the prophets. It's kind of like this. Paul says this. Oops. Let me just grab that. It's going to be kind of tricky here. Not bumping my head. Paul says this. He says, consider what I say. Paul says this. And the Lord give the understanding in what?
All things.
In all things. Paul says, listen. You consider what I say. Take my gospel, build it into your soul, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to Revelation mystery, build it into your soul. You consider what I say, and now you can stand up here on the top of this mountain. And you know what you can do? You can see the whole picture. The Lord give you understanding in all things. See why you need the scriptures of the prophets? See that? Isn't that incredible? That's the blueprint right there. Now, quickly, go with me to 1 Corinthians 3. This is point number 3. The pattern to follow was committed to the master builder. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3 now. Look what he says here. 1 Corinthians 3, and start with me at verse 9. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 9, he says this. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's, what's it say there?
Building.
Now when he says, ye are God's building, who is it that the building belongs to? Yeah, it belongs to him. And who is it that makes up the building? It's you. It's the body of Christ, right? It's the believers. It's the saints. Now watch this. Again, verse 9, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to. Now, anytime you see that phrase, according to, what should come to your mind? That's the standard, right? Here's the measuring stick, the yardstick. Okay, here's the standard that he's going to use to further amplify what he's talking about. So he says, according to the grace of God which is given unto me. Stop there for just a moment. Hold that verse and go to Ephesians 3. Look at Ephesians 3. And you tell me if this is the same thing he's talking about. Hold your place there. I want you and turn the pages on your Bible down so you can see both verses. I want you to look at both verses. I want you to look at 1 Corinthians 3 and Ephesians 3. Once again, notice 1 Corinthians 3 verse 10. 1 Corinthians 3:10, and the first phrase, it says this. According to, okay, there's this, get ready for the standard. Here it comes. Here it is. It's the grace of God which is given unto me. See that? Everybody see that phrase there? Now go to Ephesians 3, verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me. Okay. Do those sound kind of similar?
Yes.
They kind of do, don't they? Do you suppose one would help us understand the other? Yes. Absolutely. When he says in 1 Corinthians 3... He says, according to the grace of God who's given to me, according to what grace that was given to him? The dispensation, according to the information committed to his trust. Paul talks about the glorious gospel of the blessed God which was committed to my trust. The risen and ascended Lord Jesus Christ committed to Paul's trust the blueprints, the information. And so when he says here, you can go back to 1 Corinthians 3, you can let go of Ephesians 3 now. But when he says here, according to the grace of God which is given to me, he's talking about the information. He's not simply saying according to the fact that God just saved me from hell. That's not what he's saying. He is the apostle of the Gentiles. And as an apostle, the Lord Jesus Christ committed him some information. That information pertinent to the dispensation of grace. So when he says here at verse 10, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a what? Now, what is a master builder? That's the verse they want to change, by the way. But what is a master builder? The guy who's in charge of what? The building process. And if he's the wise master builder... Okay, what else? Now, there's something that makes him the best. How do you get wisdom? You know how you get wisdom? I'll tell you how. Let me tell you how. I use my kids, right? Okay. I'll tell you, get some wisdom. Just before Christmas, we bought a little dirt bike for the boys, a little YZ80 and everything, and they've been out 3 times riding this thing. Anyway, so we took them out a few weeks ago and everything, when that weekend when it totally downpoured. Remember, just man, so we went out there. Yeah, right. So, so we went out there, we went out down out to outside of San Diego there, a place called Coral Canyon. And there was hardly nobody out there, but this other guy came riding up. He was an experienced rider and everything, and he's seen Jonathan Stephen on this thing one at a time. But anyway, so they were, and of course here, Dad, I used to race motocross, so for me there's not much fear. But here I got my kids on these things, right? And I'm, and the guy said, leave them alone. They got to get some experience somehow, meaning let them crash a time or two. That's how you get wisdom, right? You crash a time or two. Don't do that one again. Isn't that true? Wisdom comes because you stubbed your toes a few times. And you kept asking, why does this hurt? You stubbed it again. Why does this hurt? Maybe I should stop at some point, right? That's how you gain wisdom. Well, when he talks about wisdom, he says as a wise master builder. Paul had gained some wisdom out of how to take this truth given to his trust and teach it to people. But when he says here, as a wise master builder, the pattern, the design for the blueprints was committed to Paul as the wise master builder. If that's the case then, if I want to make sure that I'm being built up properly, then where should I go to find the pattern? I should go to the master builder, in this case the Apostle Paul. Friends, it is no more people want to make this so complicated, and it's not. At this point, what is said is, well, you throw out the rest of the Bible. You throw out Moses. You throw out John in the book of Revelation. And of course, you throw out Jesus. Wait. The word Scripture told me that the pattern of edification is get Paul's gospel first, Revelation mystery. That information is how you're going to get understanding of everything else. See the pattern there? You're absolutely not throwing out the rest of Scripture. You're using this as the building block upon which to see the whole picture. See what's going on there? I mean, even if you study just the book of Romans alone in chapter number 9, 10, 11, Paul refers to the Old Testament time and time and time and time and time again. At any rate, look at again what he says here at verse 10. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. Now, moving on to point number 4. And the point number 4 is that the building is going to be inspected one day. Watch this. What does the last sentence of verse 10 say? Why would he say, take heed, how he buildeth thereupon? Because it will be inspected. That verse, to a large degree, is a warning. Now, not a warning about that, you know, a believer, you're going to lose your salvation, because you're not. You understand that. But it is especially focused at anybody who seeks to build the body of Christ. So primarily, not exclusively, but primarily leaders, teachers. At Corinth, Paul says this. He says, you have 10,000 instructors in Christ. And none of those 10,000 instructors in Christ were edifying them properly. He says, but I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore, ye be followers together of me. For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, he says. None of those 10,000 instructors were teaching them the edification process. They had 10,000 of them. And they weren't following the plan. Look what he goes.
Timothy 2:15, where it says, need not be ashamed.
Yes.
Does that have to do with the inspection?
It sure does. It sure does. You're right with me, okay? Actually, you're ahead of me, which is good. Okay, there we go. Look at that. Looked like somebody else was right there too, right? Okay. So look what he says. But let every man take heed how he built thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now watch this. Watch the inspection process. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. Before you proceed, what do you automatically note in verse 12? Yeah, clearly two different categories, right? Of different materials that clearly are different in their worth, their value. One has an intrinsic as to one's just no intrinsic value. And what is it? You got gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. Clearly two different categories. So here's what's going to happen. Verse 13. Every man's what? The issue here is not your soul. You're not working to get saved. It's the labor and the edification process. It says, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare. There's a day coming when the building inspector will inspect the building. People, again, like I said earlier today, people, they say, well, God's doing this. God's blessing over here. We started with, 50, and now we have 5,000 in 2 months and everything. That all these stories and everything. By the way, that's not been the pattern here. You understand that? Okay. They say God's blessing. It's a little too early to tell. But it will be told. And this passage will tell you how it's going to happen. He says in verse 13, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. Because it, the work, see that? It is a reference to the work. It shall be revealed by fire. If you want to write down next to that verse, just as a parallel, write down Jeremiah 23:29, where the word of God is likened unto fire. Just as a parallel. Jeremiah 23:29, he says, is not my word like a fire, and like a hammer that breaketh a rock in twain? But when it says here, it's going to be revealed by fire, the fire that's going to try the building is going to be the Word of God. I mean, after all, isn't that true? When the building inspector goes out to inspect the building, what's he looking to make sure everything follows? Code. It's that simple. It's all written down. So he says here, verse 13, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort? understand this. The issue with God is not, and I know this goes real counter to what most people think. The issue with God is not quantity. What is it? It's quality. It's quality. Joe and Sue were talking this morning about this couple they led to the Lord a little while ago now, and they've been teaching what a God divided to. Do you realize, you sit down with just a few people in Bible study, and you faithfully teach them the Word of God divided. That's quality, as compared to teaching 5,000, and you don't even have a clue yourself about the mystery. Do you understand? Do you see the difference there? When it comes time for the fire to manifest where intrinsic value is, you can bring in a truckload of $1,000 bills and dump it into the fire, and what do you have left? You've got ashes. Or you can bring in one gold Krugerrand, dump it in the fire, and what do you have left? You got the pure fire. You see the difference there? The issue is what sort it is, not the quantity. Can I ask us as a local assembly, here's what we need to do collectively and individually. We not only want to make sure that we're involved in the edification process, one of another. One anothering is Paul's phrase, one another. But what if you made it your personal goal as a believer to be involved in the edification of another saint beyond just the local assembly here? Because, I mean, you're from different areas. So as far as way ahead, I think it's the furthest. No, Arizona. Right, yeah. That's a good little distance away, right? Come back next week, okay? Yeah, really. But what if you made it your own personal goal that, you know what, this year, you're going to start a Bible study with somebody else. One, two people. And you're going to teach them what you know. You're going to be involved in their edification process, even if it's only one or two other individuals. And you're going to take and you're going to mentor them and teach them, as well as you're going to let somebody mentor and teach you. That's edification. That's the idea of every member, every joint, every supply. See the concept there? What if you do that?
You got
to follow the pattern. That's you know what? If you follow the lesson this morning, you'll know where to go get it, right? But that's exactly right. You got to follow the pattern. Okay? Now, let's do this here as well. Let's keep going. Verse 13 again, the last part of what sort it is. Now, here's what happens. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive what? Now, what would have to happen in order for the work that they've built to abide? What does it have to be? Gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, and stubble? That's right. He has to follow the plan. Okay? And then it says that, but when it says there, he shall receive a reward. It doesn't say rewards, plural. It's singular, isn't it? What is the reward? That's right. The position that you are going to serve the Lord Jesus Christ in the government of the heavenly places. Look at the next verse. He says here, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. Loss of what? The reward. Not his soul, clearly, because it says, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. You betcha. Yeah. Let's put it this way. The Apostle Paul, when he talks about the government of the heavenly places, he describes it in terms of that you can relate to thrones, dominions, principalities, powers, and mights. Those all have to do. Colossians, and I know we're going to get way over time here if we get too far off track on this one, but when we talk about dying and going to heaven, you're actually going to be doing something in heaven. You're not going to be sitting up there on the cloud playing a harp all day. Remember Alice years ago, the comment she made? I told her at church, you're not going to be sitting up there on the cloud just playing a harp all day. And Alice said something, man, I want to play a harp. I'm kind of tired down here. And Bernice says, oh, Alice, you do too much harping down here up there. That's good. Yeah. They were best friends, so I just, you know, no problem. But we're not going to be sitting up there just on a cloud just playing a harp all day and everything. You know, some of us would sound pretty bad, but no. You're actually going to be doing something. You're going to be involved in running the government of the heavens. You're going to be judging the angels, ruling over the angelic race as well. So when that verse talks about you're going to receive a reward, your assignment in the heavenly places is going to be given to you in accordance with the edification process in your soul. And if the edification process in your soul isn't following the blueprint, then God isn't going to give you that. He's going to get something else, is what I'm saying. That's the easiest way to kind of illustrate it. Now let's move on very quickly because we're out of time. Now, verse 16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let me ask, based upon verse 16 and 17, does it sound like that Paul is making this a pretty serious issue? It kind of does. You don't want to take those words lightly. He says, ye are the temple of God. And he says, which temple? Ye are. In the Bible, there, at least up to the point we're talking about here, in the Bible it's interesting that there are three different temples. There's going to be another one beyond this, but for purposes of our study right now. In the Bible, there's three different temples. What's a temple for? Place for God to dwell. The first I want to talk about real briefly is back there in the tabernacle in the wilderness. Who is it that God told Israel to build the tabernacle? Who did he tell? He told Moses. Now for time's sake, write down this verse if you could. For time's sake, got to do this quickly. Write down Exodus 25, verse 9 and 40. Exodus 25, verse 9 and 40. God told, he gave some specific information about building the temple back there to Moses. The place where God was going to dwell. Exodus 25, verses 9 and 40. And then do turn to this one. Turn to Hebrews chapter 8 real quickly. Watch this. I want to try to wrap this up. I need a couple of minutes. Two minutes here. Hebrews chapter 8. Watch this. I was hoping to spend a little bit more time on this, but I'm going to ask you to go and just think this through, if you would. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 5. Says this. Who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle, for see, saith he, this is what God said to Moses, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. What's that verse telling us about the communication from God to Moses? You better follow the plan. Everybody see that in the verse? What's that? God gave Moses the plans when he was telling Moses to build that tabernacle that God was going to indwell. All right, and there's a whole lot of other details about that. We just don't have time this morning to deal with that. But what I want you to see is that Moses was told to follow, see that thou make all things after the pattern showed to thee. Make it according to the pattern, Moses. Now, was that important to God? You better believe it was. As you fast forward to David, a man after God's own heart, David. Just before David passes away, David gives some instructions to his son Solomon. Write these passages down if you would. Write down 1 Chronicles 28. And write down these verses. Verse 11, 12, 18, and 19. And you're going to see that just before David gathered the building materials to build the temple, but David didn't build the temple. He passed away before it was done. He didn't even start it and so forth. But David does gather the materials to build the temple, and he tells Solomon, his son, Solomon, you make sure and build everything, follow everything according to the pattern that God showed me. In both cases, there's a pattern. And he says, follow the pattern, Moses. Follow the pattern, Solomon. Well, God is building the temple today. It's not a physical temple, not bricks, drywall, that type of thing. Who is the temple? You are the temple. What was the purpose of the tabernacle in the wilderness? God came in and dwelt it. What's the purpose in Solomon's day? God was to indwell it. Where does God live today? God lives in you. That's when he says over there in 1 Corinthians 3, if any man defile the temple of God, God is concerned about this thing being defiled. And it is as much dishonoring to him today in the dispensation of grace as Israel back there in that temple when they moved idols into that temple. You understand that? God is building the temple today. The pattern, the blueprint for this pattern. Who's the wise master builder today? It's the Apostle Paul. That's what the verse says. I didn't make this up. People say you make too much of Paul. I didn't write the verse. Neither did Brother Jordan. You Jordanites. That's what Paul said. God the Holy Spirit told Paul to say that. God's building the temple today. You're the temple of the living God. And if you want to follow the pattern, and I know you do, you want to be edified like God wants you to be edified, we need to follow the pattern committed to the apostles of the Gentiles. Is right dividing the word of truth that important? Only if you're interested in the temple of God looking like what God wants it to look like. That's all. If you're not, then don't worry about it. It's that simple. Let's have a word of prayer. Our gracious God and Father, we thank you for the time to look into your word this morning and to talk about these things. And we pray, God, that we by faith would take what your word says and then as believers seeking to be edified would indeed follow the pattern of our edification for this dispensation of grace. And we'll thank you for that in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, which one? My hope is in the Lord? Is it? Okay, let's see here. How about if we do at the cross? We're going to at the cross is the one we're going to sing here. What is it? Okay, let's try number 95.